Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Spoiler Warning Podcast. This is review number 763 with a review of Roadhouse. I'm Christopher Schnazy.
And I'm Stephen Miller.
And if you're joining us for the first time, the Spoiler Warning Podcast is a weekly film review program. Each week in the show, we're going to dive in, debate, discuss, and argue over the latest films coming to a theater near you. This week, we already had a review of Love Lies Bleeding. We have this review of a streaming film called Roadhouse. And then we're also going to have a review of Late Night with the Devil. So get ready for that one. But yeah. How you doing, Steven?
Dude, okay. Can't complain. I'm excited because this review, as I'm sure many people who are experiencing the new Roadhouse movie have done, is actually sort of a double review because we also watched the original, for me at least, for the very first time. So yeah. Not only are we doing three episodes back-to-back, we're kind of doing like four movies in one night, which feels like a return to form to the old days.
So right about the time we finish talking about the original Roadhouse, we'll be halfway through our night of recording.
Exactly.
But I also watched it for the first time, for the record, the night before actually getting to stream the new one. So, it's all fresh in my mind. How long ago did you end up rewatching it?
I think Thursday night. So pretty recently still.
Cool. Yeah, Stephen, let's get into it. What did you think of the 1989 Roadhouse?
It was so cheesy, but so much fun. to me, it had everything a cornball 80s action movie is supposed to have. It had a fun premise. It had a hilariously suave leading man who you don't believe could possibly be as strong as we're being told they are. It had an ultra cornball villain. It had gratuitous nudity, including a lot of asses, which I just associate with the 80s in general. And it had, to me, this real fun of, like, we're going to revitalize this bar. Like there's a mission in the movie, and we get to watch things get better and better for a period of time. And I had a blast with that. But the MVP, to me, is Sam Elliott in this movie, who I did not know anything about the movie. I didn't know to expect him. And when he showed up, to me, he was just the epitome of cool. I was so excited when I got to see, like, I've never really seen, to my knowledge, young Sam Elliott in a juicy role before. And that was like the first I got to see. And I love him kicking ass and being his old Sam Elliott self. Look, the plot falls apart. Of course, that's part of the charm of these 80s corny movies is the plots completely fall apart. Especially, I feel like the romance to Kelly Lynch falls apart. Like, there's a question of, wait, does she hate violence or does she love even more violence that, like, the movie never tries to answer? But I had a goddamn blast. I mean, throats are ripped out. Patrick Swayze has sex standing up while holding someone. The villain has henchmen with a giant monster truck. it was like unifying crazy action movies with Wayne's World or something in my head. And I really enjoyed the combo. I had a lot of fun with it, even though it is, like, admittedly ridiculously stupid. I had a ridiculously stupid time in the best possible way. How about you?
I'm glad you're admitting that it's ridiculously stupid, because that was my exact thought when I was watching it. This is like one of those films where it feels exactly like the spoof version you would make if you were doing a spoof of the movie that actually happened. But that's just every single scene that actually happened. Even like when they were first introduced to the bar, I was like, who is going to this bar?
I know it. I love it.
There's no person that's not there to just be rowdy, but it's not like somebody's like getting too drunk and then being rowdy and ruining it for the other people. Like, every single person in these bars are ruining it for themselves.
I love it. And the band is playing like awesome 80s music behind a cage while people throw bottles at them.
This film is so ridiculous. In the last review of Love Lies Bleeding, I threw out the alternate title of Roids Lie Raging. And I think that my alternate title for Roadhouse would
Don't
be to call
Roadhouse.
This
Roadhouse.
No, not Roadhouse. I would call this movie Roundhouse, because that's the only move that Patrick Swayze knows.
Yeah, it's so funny.
He's doing more Roundhouse than Chuck Norris. And I think
he definitely is.
Yeah, yeah. And
you can tell so much of like his history as a dancer in this movie, because it's like he's like the dance hero.
Yeah,
it's so silly in 80s.
It is. Yeah, I can, because his roundhouse doesn't feel like a martial arts roundhouse. It right. feels like a ballet dancer doing a twirl and like at the last second letting the leg like flip out, right?
Yep.
I don't know what that move's called, but you know exactly what I'm talking about.
No, he's just dirty dancing like, all the bad guys away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's breakdance fighting. but yeah, I thought this movie was absolutely ridiculous. You said the plot kind of falls apart. I don't think the plot actually starts. I think it's just like it's a man with a hidden past. We'll never see that past, but it's fine. There's like... every 10 minutes, a new character is introduced. No reason, just because they wanted to arrive. And now it's just another weird person who's now in this film. And I kept going like, what? I never saw it originally. I don't know if people thought it was cool in 1989 or if they also thought
it was ridiculous. They had to think it was ridiculous. I mean, it does follow, and the new movie makes this very explicit in a way that I find a little annoying. It does follow the model of a Western, right? Where it's like the no history man arrives in the town, and the town is impossibly wicked, and he cleans it up and causes chaos, and the townspeople learn how to defend themselves, right? That is the vibe of the movie. And even Westerns didn't take themselves very seriously, and I feel like this movie didn't either. And I just can't imagine people watching this and being like, hell yeah, that was a real...
I want to be a roadhouse.
Yeah, I want a road... I just love the... It reminded me almost of John Wick, you know, where John Wick has the... it's this whole hidden world of hitmen who all know about each other. This roadhouse presupposes, what if bouncers all know about each other, and wherever you are in the country, you just say the last name of a bouncer, and they're like, oh shit, I know him.
Well,
he's a chiller, right? Or is that the word for it?
I don't remember. But Steven, if you knew somebody in high school, let's say there's a guy, you barely even knew him, there's just a kid at your high school who ripped another kid's throat out with his bare hands, you would never forget that guy's name, right?
Yeah, that's true. I just love the reputation of like from bar to bar to bar, they all know like the best bouncer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I mean, they knew him not as a bouncer, right? They knew him as the guy who ripped somebody's throat out. And then
did they?
I'm pretty sure it was a thing where like they remember him from whatever this incident was that nobody ever talks about, but is constantly being worried about.
See, I didn't get that sense. I thought only the bad guy knew about that because he's like saying the place that it happened, and it's like he's threatening to blackmail him with it, but everyone knows him as like the world's greatest bouncer. That was the sense that I had. Well, unlike the new Roadhouse, where there's a much more famous occupation that he had.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But he does, I feel like he showed up with his own credentials, right? His first time in the bar. They're like, wow, that's how you bounce. That's what bouncers do, right? They bounce.
Oh, yeah, they bounce. But I like it. Like, I don't know. I like the intro to it. I have not seen the movie Cocktail, for instance, but this gave me some of the joy that I feel like that movie had of just like, man, I just want to see a bar being a bar.
Yeah, yeah. Would you go to that bar, Steven?
Not this. Well, it depends when in the process. There's a phase of Swayze having cleaned it up that, yeah, I would go there, you know, at a certain point. If Swayze's protecting me, I'm going to go there.
Yeah, yeah. If you went to Bottom of the Hill and there was a cage around the stage and just shit was just thrown all over the place.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'd be into it. But I just like the idea of, like, the movie about not being violent and then being forced to be violent, even though, like, these movies are the equalizer, right? Like it's the same premise, basically, of the people with the intense past who do everything they can to not actually let out their inner violence, and then something happens and all mayhem breaks loose. For this one, I just liked him teaching everyone how to bounce and how, like, you got to stay with a smile, you got to be calm, lead them outside. Your job is not to fight. Your job is to, like, be the cool person that is bigger than them. And then if you really have to, I'm going to teach you how to beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I just like it. There's just a swagger that Swayze brings to it that is really, really, really fun. And especially him having sex with the love interest, Kelly Lynch, from up on his, like, the ledge of the barn room that he stays in while the bad guy sits across the lake and angrily watches them. Just peak 80s. Love it. Love it.
Yeah. Do we find out in the original, the bad guy doesn't have a plan. He's just a bad guy, right?
He owns the whole town. He's like the mafia, and you can't have someone stepping out of line if you want your mafia grift. Like, they're a protection racket, as far as I can tell. Everyone has to pay him like 10 or 20%. Otherwise, they will send goons to break your shit.
And but they were happy. They were happy with that bar existing. They just didn't like that he was throwing people out of the bar.
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I feel like the bar was where a lot of his goons hung out and they wanted to be fighting.
And he was basically like harshing their vibe or whatever. And
exactly, he was
like, we're going to kill this guy.
And it might just be that he was too strong and they felt threatened by there being a strong person.
Yeah.
And maybe other than him kicking out the bartender who was the son-in-law or whatever of the guy, maybe they wouldn't have targeted the Double Deuce or whatever it's called in particular. But then yeah. Swayze proved himself to be a defender of the townspeople, and that's when they had to destroy it.
One last thing I'll say about the end of that movie. Like, after he does the fight and he rips the guy's throat out and he's like doing this like, oh, I'm so tired from fighting. Is he not exactly doing the Ace Ventura 3 darts is too much?
I can see it. I can definitely see it.
I mean, arguably Ace Ventura is doing that, but you know what I mean. It's just so goofy.
It looked very goofy. Like, that is definitely the goofiest motion. He gets more dancerly as the movie goes into that, like, climactic series of battles. And I'm all for it. The guy has a bear fall on him. He's like comic relief. We don't know why. Love it. The little dweeby supervillain, who, by the way, is in Anatomy of a Murder, the movie that I might make you watch. But little dweeby supervillain who seems like he looks like Martin Sheen, like he can't, or Martin Short, like he can't do anything.
Yeah.
But then he just like slaps people and punches them, and it's like, yeah, we're tough, we're bad guys. Love it.
Cool. All right. Well, you love the original. Come for the original, stay for the remake. What do you say we get into our review of 2024's Roadhouse?
Let's do it.
Before we start, do you have insurance?
What?
Your coverage good? Like, you have dental?
Oh, haha.
Is there a hospital nearby? Is it, like, too far?
About, like, 25 minutes, I'd say.
I just slapped you. Are you all right?
What?
So you like to fight? You ever win?
No one ever wins a fight.
This ain't the Holiday Inn, pal.
I'm moving.
A friend of mine suggested I come talk to you. I own a roadhouse out in the Florida Keys. Lately, it's been attracting the wrong clientele. I can pay you good money. Judging by your car, you need that.
Well, I like my car.
Think about it. Come on,
bro. I know who you are. Elwood Dalton, Big Bandit.
That guy's got a knife under his shirt. You just take a big step back and pop me in the face. You can do it.
Tell me about this fountain.
Yeah, it's all nice, like he's Mr. Rogers or something.
But then
he'll haul off. Really interesting guy, overall.
Brand wants to take the roadhouse away from me. He wants to build some resort.
I should warn you, people have a certain way of getting things done around here.
Hey, fellas,
Looks like you're having a smashing night, Dalton! I got a tip for you. Don't let no one get this close.
Let me guess. You know, threaten me. Tell me to get out of town. I get the impression that you can't be threatened.
Once Knox is on the job, it's over, baby.
It takes a lot to get me angry, but when I am, I just can't let go.
People seem a little aggressive around here.
Is that one a friend of yours?
No, I just broke his arm.
All right, so that was the trailer for Roadhouse, the 2024 version. Basically, you know, our hero Dalton takes a job as a bouncer at a roadhouse, tries to clean up the town, and has to deal with some riffraff. Steve Miller, what did you think of Roadhouse?
Okay, so I mentioned that the original movie was super cornball, cheesy, having a lot of fun, and the plot fell apart. This new one, by contrast, has a plot that, like, kinda, sorta, almost hangs together. It has action scenes that were filmed with, like, a kind of first-person intensity. It felt like it wanted to be more of a real movie. Like, it doesn't help that I've seen Southpaw, so I've actually seen the real movie version of this already. And man, for me, did this not work at all. I'm curious to learn how you felt when you get to you, because I know you saw it on like a bigger screen and maybe you had more movie moments. To me, I felt like the movie falls apart almost immediately. Like from the jump, I have no one to root for. There's no fun of, there's no let's clean up this bar. Like the roadhouse is like a red herring. It's like brought up. We see it a little bit and then no one gives a shit about it ever again. I feel like characters come and go, and it's all in service to this elaborate UFC backstory that Jake Gyllenhaal has. And no one or nothing mattered to me even a little bit, like not even for fun. There was no character where I was like, oh, yeah, that person. Oh, man, I hope he gets the girl. I hope that, like, it just felt like a bunch of loosely hung together action set pieces with focusing on all the wrong things to me. From what made the original fun. Like, there's no sidekick. There's no Sam Elliott type character in this movie. There's no, like, epic fight.
Your entire opinion of the film comes down to fucking there's no Sam Elliott.
I mean, there is no Sam Elliott. The romance, like, basically doesn't exist. Like, it's there in, I think, one scene, maybe. There's, like, I don't know. It just immediately becomes this, like, the nefarious villain's plan. But there's so many tangled webs of, like, the crooked cop, but the other people involved, and they're trying to thwart it, and Conor McGregor is coming in to help out, too, but he's kind of against the other people. It just felt like chaos to me, and not in a fun chaos way, just in a, like, incomprehensible chaos.
Did you say Conor McGregor, or did you say Conor McGregor?
How does he say his own accent wrong?
I don't know.
His acting, man. I have to praise the fact that he gave us, like, the only bare ass in this movie. So good throwback to the original. But his, if everyone were doing his thing in the movie, I maybe would have more fun with it. But him alone doing that thing, he just seems like the worst actor I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he is the biggest problem with this. But I mean, are you still going? I don't want to jump into my stuff until.
Oh no, you jump in. Like I felt like this movie, I can point to the action scenes and say like they were competently filmed, but it was filmed competently in a way that gave me no joy. And like the movie, I just kind of was like, okay, this is streaming goop that I have to let watch all over me. Like I didn't have fun the way that I had fun with the 80s version.
Yeah, I didn't have fun with the 80s version. I did kind of have fun with this one.
Wow.
Not anything necessarily about this film, its construction, or what it does, but purely because I like the people that minus Conor McGregor, who they cast. Like, for me, the MVP is Mo. Every single scene with that dude, his just his earnest, like, hey, I'm just here, like, hanging out. Yeah. Like, I loved every second of that guy. It was freaking great.
I like him. He's in Broad City and a few other things.
Okay, yeah. He's fucking hilarious in this film. Brandt, or Brandon, he I love that he's just steering into playing this character. Like, he's not pigeonholed as an actor. He is going for these roles because it seems like he loves just chewing the shit out of them, right? Like, I liked seeing him there. I like Jake Gyllenhaal. Like, I find him incredibly watchable, like, in anything. Whether it's, you know, this movie or any, like, another movie where he's also wearing gloves and fighting somebody. But it's just something about it was, it's not that I'm like, oh, this is like super awesome. It's just a thing where I was like, I'm kind of just digging it like the whole time around. I think when you are trying to do a remake, you have a responsibility to at least try to expand upon what the first film was doing and don't just like make a shot for shot remake, go do your own thing. Sure. And it feels like, you know, you probably don't enjoy this, but I actually like that. It's like, I'm going to fill in the backstory. I am going to, like, it seems like when it's trying to hit the same beats, it comes up with an excuse for a similar thing to happen, but unrelated. Like, in the original film, there is just a shop that's blown up for no reason at all. That there's no real connection between him and the shop owner other than he buys some stuff at that shop. It kind of feels like it's just kind of like bystanders' place gets blown up and then go here. They at least give him a connection to the people in the shop that is going to get messed with, you know, like it feels like it, you know, I'm not saying
I hated their connection.
No, it's fine. I'm not saying that like it nailed everything perfectly. I'm just saying that like it at least feels like it's trying to hit those beats and add its own stamp on it. The things I don't like is we're also going to have a cage in the bar, even though the makeup of our patrons has nothing to do with the original film. We're just going to keep that because people recognize the cage around the stage. Or we're just going to have a random diner called the Double Deuce because we have to allude, like, all the callbacks to the original that are not an expanding upon what the original did and are just a literal, like, even fucking the conversation about, like, it's called the Roadhouse, but, like, it's, like, road, space, house. Isn't it a roadhouse, one word? Mm-hmm. Like, even that kind of stuff kind of annoyed me. But when it's just trying to fill out the story of what these characters are doing, like I said in our previous review when I was alluding to this one, it's like, yeah, the trope of being somewhere in Florida and wanting somebody to buy up all the land so they can put a giant like resort is every single villain's plot for everything,
right?
So it's not like I'm like, oh yeah, good job coming up with a good villain plot, but at least your villain is not just a guy who's like, oh, fucking we run this town, let's go get something, you know? It's like I at least understand the motivations of these people. So that's fine. Once again, I'm not praising this to the high heavens or whatever. It's just a thing where I'm like, I can see you actually attempting to expand upon the movie that you're remaking. I will say, you know, put aside the way these fights are filmed, I feel like the brawl nature of the fighting does feel more visceral, right? Like it is not a John Wick where everybody's like, wah, 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 like all like trained, whatever. I mean, these guys are supposed to be trained fighters, but it is like trading blows in a way that I thought was kind of, it's just people just knocking the shit out of each other in a way that feels
that's true in the original too, though. I mean, I feel like Patrick Swayze and Sam Elliott get the shit beat out of them for half the movie.
They do, but like the choreography feels more like, I don't buy them as being trained. Like I buy them as actors playing as though they are fighting in this. Part of it is because one of the people fighting is actually a UFC person.
Yeah, of course.
And the other person is somebody who, you know, plays one of movies. But, like, I buy them as, like, being in fist fights and actually beating the shit out of each other. Like, there's something about it where I'm like, it just feel like I feel the impact of those punches in a way that I don't in the original. The original sounds like Foley work. This feels like, oh, shit, ow, ow, ow.
Yeah, I can't put my finger on why none of that really worked for me. Like I think the action scenes, if they were in a better movie, I would maybe have fun with the brawls. But the way they come and go, it just felt very weightless to me. And like the plot felt very weightless to me. Like, we don't even need to do spoilers for this movie, but there's a subplot involving a briefcase full of money. And I don't understand how that has anything to do with serving the needs of anything any character was trying to do, like, other than just like wanting a briefcase full of money. Like unless I missed a key connective tissue, it's just like they changed the movie halfway through for no reason.
Well, the bad guy was getting money from various sources so that he could afford to do the shit that he was going to do. Because he was having to delay his project, he owed money to other people, so he was needing people mm-hmm. from the area.
Oh, okay, pay. Okay. Yeah, so yeah. The briefcase is just his, like, his way of also getting the people he owed money. Two birds with one stone. With
yeah, so ability. various cops that were under his control were bringing mm-hmm. suitcases of money, I guess, from various shady-ass sources.
But this specific suitcase was meant for a kidnapping.
After the fact.
Oh, okay.
The kidnapping was a way to... Did you even watch the movie, Steven?
No, I mean, I saw all the double crosses. I just don't know how quickly you can get someone on a boat.
The kidnapping was to get back the thing that was taken. It was a reverse ransom.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. So, does that change your opinion? No, I was kidding.
Yeah, I love it. It's the best movie I've ever seen.
No, and once again, for the record, this isn't my favorite movie of all time. It was just the thing where I was like, yeah, I had fun with that. It was exactly what it needed to be. It was like the recalibrated level of, it's like a today's version of cheesy compared to the 80s version of cheesy. And it's like, they're serving different makers or whatever, but like, I had enough fun. And I think that like, if you recast this film, I probably wouldn't have enjoyed it as much as I did. The bad guy, Mo, Jake Gyllenhaal, the woman who plays Frankie. I like all those people. So it's like there was like enough pulling me along in this film that it was kind of, I was just enjoying the ride. That's how
I'm happy for you. I did not. For me, the 80s one was like so bad it's good type of movie.
Yeah.
And this decided to just be bad. And somehow that made it significantly worse, like significantly worse for me, because I just didn't have joy while I was watching it. I didn't have, I literally, I'm not ashamed to say this, I split this over two viewings, partly because like I watched the first half late at night and I just didn't want to stay up for all of it. But like, this is not a long movie, and that is how little this gripped me, is I was like, I don't care, I'll finish it later.
wait, Steven, did you split it right where the money changed hands? The second day you're like, where the fuck did this briefcase full of money come from?
No, I don't want to spoil this movie, but the narrative that the crooked cop sheriff gives, which I know is a lie, but the timing makes it seem like he's like, wait, why did you stop that? That was meant to save the kidnapping. You have to go get it. And that means like they secretly kidnapped her in the time it took for the cop to come over there and concoct a lie. Like, it just, the timing of when they kidnapped her doesn't make sense to me, basically. But it's fine. It's all fine.
Yeah. I mean, you say the original was so bad it's good, and you said this one's fine. I think this one's so fine it's fine.
Okay. I'm happy. I'm not going to take it from you. I'm glad someone enjoyed it. I was surprised at how much I didn't like this movie. Like, I thought it would be, like, pretty fun. And yeah. I just didn't have pretty fun. Maybe in theaters I would have had fun. We'll never know.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, Jake Gyllenhaal is doing some heavy lifting, like, literally, for this film, and I'm here for it.
Yeah. Cool.
I will say, though, I really actively disliked the mid-credit sequence.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It made me, I was like, come on now. That's not how that happens.
I didn't even like the credits because I had to keep watching them. I thought I would get to be finished with the movie. And then I was like, damn it. They're showing footage.
Nice. All right. Well, verdict time?
Yeah. I assume we're only rating the new Roadhouse.
We're only rating the new Roadhouse.
Yeah, yeah.
The other Roadhouse, it's the statute of limitations. We can't.
Right.
We can't rate it anymore. But yeah, Stephen Miller, if you're going to give the new Roadhouse a must-see, recommend with a caveat, wait for until pass with a caveat, or a must-avoid, what would you give it?
I'm giving the new Roadhouse a... I almost want to say must avoid, but I can't because like I know objectively that the brawls are like pretty decently well done. And so I'm giving it a pass with a caveat. I just like didn't find joy in this movie. And I think it didn't help that I had watched a cheesy 80s movie that I had so much fun with just like a day prior. And just comparing the two of them, it just made me feel like, man, you had this IP that would have been so much fun and you decided to drain the joy out of it by updating it. But I just felt like they updated it in ways that on a script make sense as like clever ways to update the material. But I felt like it lost everything that I found fun about the original in the process. And that just bummed me out. But caveat to my pass, like, Chris is living proof. Like the fight scenes could definitely be fun, depending on what mood you're in, and that's fine. That's fine with me. I won't take that from anyone.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, I had fun with this film. It's definitely not a film that I'm like, dude, you got to see Roadhouse. You got to check it out. So I'm still not gonna bump it up higher than A Wait for Rental, but it's a perfect rental. It is exactly like it is. I just wish I had popcorn for it when I watched it, just because that could have helped me out. But like, you know, usually a film that tries to have humorous beats, if you're watching it alone, it kind of has that like negative bump. But like this, there were still enough little things that I was vibing with, like the little bits of humor. Maybe not even humor, just levity that the film was sprinkling in there. So for me, it's a very, very high Wait for Rental. Almost teetering into recommend, but like Steven's not incorrect when he talks about this movie not being great. I just think it's fun. So I
respect it. I'm glad someone did. Jake Gyllenhaal didn't get ripped for no one.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for our review of Roadhouse or the Rhodes House. Steven Miller, if people want to find you that week, where can they do that?
People can find me at Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram, at sdavidmiller or sdavidmiller.com.
People can find me at christopherinreallife.com or christopherirl on a number of social platforms. You can find the podcast over at thespoilerwarning.com, where you can get a bunch of the back episodes of the show. If you want to subscribe to the show, you can do so on Overcast, YouTube, Apple Podcasts, or wherever podcasts are found. If you want to know when the episodes go live, you can follow us at twitter.com/spoilerwarning, facebook.com/thespoilerwarning, or instagram.com/thespoilerwarning. If you want to get a hold of us directly, you can send an email to fans@thespoilerwarning.com, or you can use the contact form on our site. Music for this episode will come from a track selected from artlist.io, so hopefully you're enjoying that. We have one more review tonight. We're going to figure out if Steven got spooked by Late Night with the Devil. So we'll see you in just a second. Tune in for that one.
Bye.